Welcome to Splendid Speaking, speaking skills for advanced learners of English. This and other podcasts can be found at splendidspeaking.com.
Most of us will be involved in situations where we need to make a point or express a view, perhaps in a presentation, during a meeting, or in an interview. One idea to make your contribution as powerful and memorable as possible is to personalise the point you're trying to make. You can do this by using an anecdote. Expressing your ideas or views with examples of personal experience will make your point meaningful to you and for the listeners. This podcast features an interview with Raluca from Romania and Genevieve from France, and has an example of how an anecdote can be used to great effect. Before we listen to Raluca and Genevieve, a reminder that transcripts of all recordings, including this one, are available to subscribers of our mailing list. You can sign up to the newsletter from www.splendidspeaking.com. Also, you may have heard about our new subscription service, Splendid Expressions, our three-stage approach to learning colloquial vocabulary. Find out more at www.splendidspeaking.com. In this task, Raluca and Genevieve had to speak for about 3 minutes, talking about the types of service a museum on a limited budget should offer. The task and photographs are taken from the Cambridge ESOL website, though these are not required to follow the discussion. As you listen, pay attention to how Genevieve uses an anecdote to make her point. Coincidentally, Genevieve worked in the Louvre in Paris and therefore brought a great deal of experience and knowledge to the topic. Also, listen to how well Raluca ensures the discussion focuses on the task. Finally, make a note of Raluca and Genevieve's use of English, which we'll look at in the feedback section. Let's listen to Raluca and Genevieve. I'd like you to imagine that a small museum with a limited budget is reviewing the services it provides to visitors. Talk together about the types of service museums should provide. Then decide which facilities a museum with a limited budget should concentrate on. You have about 3 minutes to do this. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, over to you.
Do you want me to talk, Raluca?
Yes, I would appreciate it.
So I think if I were the curator of a small museum, I would develop the didactic part of the museum for children and for the general public, because it's really important to let people know about the painters and about how the paintings are made. And when I recently, I visited an exhibition on Paul Cézanne in Aix-en-Provence, and what I found most interesting was the explanation of the colors Paul Cézanne used, and all the relationships between Cézanne and the painters, Matisse, Gauguin, Picasso, who even bought paintings from Cézanne and were inspired by his paintings. And so I think it's a very important part in a museum. Even if it's a small museum, you can have copies of some important paintings if you don't possess important paintings. It doesn't really matter. You can extend the collection. Yeah. Don't you think, Raluca?
Yes, I do. That's a very good idea, what you just said. But I was wondering, I'm asking you this because you've worked in a museum. What happens when you have to translate the presentation? I've heard that sometimes people have some sort of a cell phone in which they hear a guide and they receive it at the entrance. Is that true? They do this because it's efficient, because it doesn't cost a lot of money? Is it cheaper than hiring a guide and getting them to speak in different languages?
In some museums, it's even free. So you have the cell phone when you enter the museum.
Do they have something like that at the Louvre?
It's a very good idea to provide people with a cell phone at the entrance of the museum. What about the entertaining part? So I think maybe if you have a small museum, you can make the museum more entertaining when you have a restaurant, a cafeteria, and maybe you organize concerts or something like that.
That's a very good idea. Yes, I do think so. Cultural events, to draw people in. Yeah.
Yes.
I've always liked gift shops, so it depends on what they offer. But we were supposed to talk about a limited budget museum, a small budget museum, something like that. So, from your knowledge, what do souvenir shops entail?
A big souvenir shop would be very interesting in a small museum, because you don't have many, many objects in a small museum.
Yeah, that is true.
It would cost a lot of money.
But how do you make it cheap? How do you keep it cheap? That's what I was asking you, in a souvenir shop. What can you do? Print postcards? Are those the cheapest types of souvenirs?
Yes, maybe have free... maybe have postcards at the cash, when you buy the ticket, where you buy the tickets.
Oh, right.
Not really a souvenir shop, but... sell postcards.
Promotion. Oh, okay.
First of all, a big thank you to Aluka and Genevieve for agreeing to be recorded. I'm sure they'd appreciate any comments you would like to make on their talk on the Splendid Speaking website. Time for some feedback. Genevieve's excellent example of an anecdote enabled her to express her views clearly, as we can see from this extract.
Recently, I visited an exhibition on Paul Cézanne in Aix-en-Provence, and what I found most interesting was the explanation of the colours Paul Cézanne used.
Did you notice how well Aluka ensured they both kept to the task under discussion?
But we were supposed to talk about a limited budget museum, a small budget museum, something like that, so... But how do you make it cheap? How do you keep it cheap? That's what I was asking you, in a souvenir shop. What can you do? Print postcards? Are those the cheapest types of souvenirs?
There were some excellent examples of English. For example, Genevieve used the second conditional to get into role.
If I were the curator of a small museum, I would develop the didactic part of the museum.
Then there was Raluca's skillful use of tenses. For example, in this extract, starting with her use of the present continuous to make her question sound more polite.
But I was wondering, I'm asking you this because you've worked in a museum, what happens when you have to translate the presentation? I've heard that sometimes people have some sort of a cell phone.
Both speakers made use of vague language in order to express a general idea.
I've heard that sometimes people have some sort of a cell phone.
Maybe you organize concerts or something like that.
And finally, a lovely example of paraphrasing from Genevieve when a word just wouldn't come to mind.
Maybe have postcards at the cash, when you buy the ticket, where you buy the tickets.
Both Raluca and Genevieve were very accurate, and there were no errors to speak of. However, can you think of other ways to express the following?
Do you want me to talk, Raluca? What about the entertaining part?
Here are some suggested alternatives. First, not "do you want me to talk?" This would be better expressed as "do you want me to start?" And finally, rather than "what about the entertaining parts?" Genevieve could have said "what about entertainment facilities?" Okay, that's the end of this podcast. Until next time, it's goodbye from me, Pete Travis. Do you feel you could do with a little more help to present yourself when using English? For example, in an advanced English exam, at a job interview, a networking event or a party. Do you want to make more of an impact when you have to speak at length in English? For example, when giving a formal presentation or making a spontaneous talk at work or at university. If so, then find out more about the exciting new product from Flojo called Splendid Speaking. Visit us at www.splendidspeaking.com.